Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life.
Today, we have a very special guest. We have Elisa Rivera, and Elisa is the founder of EllieTalksMoney.com. She's also the founder of E2Squared. She is a financial coach, a mentor, an amazing person, and I'm so happy to have you here, Elisa. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And so I've been following along on Instagram and social media, and I love your story. It's so inspirational. You started your business at 27 with four kids after a breakup, and you used your $1,200 stimulus check and just scaled that into, what, 1 million after 10 months? That's amazing. I'm so impressed, and I want to hear everything. I'm dying to hear your story about how you did it. So can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Thank you so much as well again for having me. Yes, I started my business in the thick of the pandemic, about 3 or 4 months after finalizing my divorce and moving home. So I didn't anticipate my business scaling so quickly, but I knew once my divorce, once I moved back home and with the pandemic, I knew that starting a business was the only thing that was going to really change our situation. Because I applied to about 53 jobs after I was laid off from my corporate position as director of sales. And all of those jobs said no, even with all my experience, with everything I've learned. And so that was a sign to me that God was telling me to go in another direction. And so I decided to take all my effort, everything I knew, and just put it into a business.
Absolutely. And that's so amazing. And so I have so many questions in terms of where to start. So you got that $1,200 stimulus check. And then what was the next step? How did you decide how to use it? How much to use for what? How to maximize that money? I mean, how did you decide on, you know, allocating the funds?
So when I heard that the stimulus checks were coming, I was like, I started making plans then, even before it hit my account. I knew that the portion for the kids, I was just going to save it for them. And I actually invested it into a dividend account for them. But my portion, I knew that I was going to save some to get a ring light, which is not this one. I have another one at home. I was going to save some to pay for my website just to add some upgrades and, you know, do the best I could to make it nicer. I was going to use some for this program called Canva because I knew I wanted to design my own course and ebook. And then I really set aside another bit for advertising because I knew I didn't know how to run Facebook ads, but I knew that there were people using influencer marketing where you pay a page, maybe $50, $100, $200 to post about you. So when I first started my Instagram, when I had about 300 followers, I used maybe $300 or $400 from the stimulus to pay for some pages to just post about me so I could get a bit of traffic. It didn't convert a whole lot because I think I only got up to maybe 500 or 700 followers, but it at least got me out the door. It got me familiar with what it meant to, you know, pay for something like this in my business. And yeah, I just went for it. I used my ring light, started recording my YouTube videos, started recording my courses, started just directing people to my website, taking one-on-one calls, and here we are.
I know my audience will want to know, for instance, which ones, like you have multiple lines of revenue. Like I was on your website, you do life insurance, which is amazing. We have to get into that because I'm a big believer, if you know my story about that. Was it the one-on-one coaching that you think people gravitated towards, or was it something else? I just want to know kind of what were the key elements that people gravitated towards in terms of your revenue streams and how that got you off the ground, because it scaled really fast after that.
It did. So at first, I was just offering one-on-one coaching in order to build trust. And in order to get my first testimonials, I did the service for free. So my first, I think, 10 clients were free clients, and that was really to test out my strategies and ensure that I had some successful case studies before I put a price tag on it. But really what scaled it is when I created digital products, because it got to a point pretty quickly where I wasn't able to continue exchanging my time for money with the one-on-one calls, because I was just getting booked out 2 months before, you know, in advance. So I decided to create my first course. I think that was September that I launched my own course, which was, you know, $20. And then the following month, I decided to launch another course and try that. And I shifted the focus of, instead of marketing to book a call with me or to book a session, I started marketing to go take my course. That was where I put all my knowledge, all my expertise, all my information, you know, 3 hour, 4 hour, 5 hour courses. And that is when it really started to scale.
I know, that sounds amazing. And now your Instagram is over 100,000 followers. And so it's growing a lot and you have some amazing content there for people. What are you finding with millennials in terms of COVID-19 and what they're most concerned about? What are you hearing from women, you know, Black women especially, and we've been so hard hit with COVID-19. What are some of the main things and challenges that you're hearing that women are facing?
So a lot of my clients, my audience, really want to get out of the rat race, really want to be able to be the decision makers in their lives. I think that COVID was a wake-up call for so many, especially those who lost their jobs in the pandemic, or those who had to start homeschooling like I did while trying to work a job. You know, it was just like, oh no, this is not, it's not it. It became very challenging to be a good mom, a full-time mom, and try to work a job full-time. And so I think a lot of people are, women especially, are looking for a way to get out of that and have freedom and flexibility to determine their own income so that they can homeschool if it needs to happen, so that they can, you know, pick up the kids whenever that needs to happen. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I know for me, when I was thrown into this COVID situation with four kids and had no way of bringing in money, because how could I go get a job? I was sick of receiving unemployment. I just knew I couldn't continue on like this. And that's what drove me to really start the business. So now I always want to help women recognize that you have a way out and you don't need to have a whole lot of money to get started with your business. You just need to have a whole lot of drive and discipline and consistency. But you can take what you know how to do and put a price tag on it and open an LLC and form the business. And that can be your pathway to the freedom that most of them are looking for.
That resonates with me so much. I have three kids and I was homeschooling through all of this. And so, Elisa, like, you have so many strategies that you teach through your course, and I love them because some of them involve real estate as well. Like, there's so many strategies. You advise women on how to get grants and loans, because of course we have to have the funding, right? So I'm wondering if you can just give the listeners, give the audience, like, a few of those key pieces, like some thoughts on those key pieces, you know, one with the real estate and one with getting that funding to start the business.
Yeah, absolutely. So a very important element of positioning yourself for funding is making sure that your business is set up properly. So you need to have an LLC or whatever entity partnership you're going to start with. You need to have an EIN number, which you get from the IRS.gov. You need to have a business bank account. So these are some non-negotiables that every business has to start with in order for you to look like a legitimate business when you approach a lender or a bank for funding. Then in addition to that, you want to start building your business credit right away. So when I began teaching this, I noticed that there was a huge gap in terms of the access to this knowledge. And many people didn't know that business credit is just as important, if not more important, than your personal credit, especially when you're a business owner. So you want to start establishing trade lines right away. And this is what I teach you all in the course. On the other side of that, another great way that you can get funding, especially if you're looking to open a restaurant or a particular type of business that is a brick and mortar location or a specific type of online product, is to write a business plan or to write a grant proposal. That is what can get you funding either from a bank or free money from a grant board or a nonprofit or a community organization or even the government in your state and the federal government, so that you can get started with the money. So that's really key. Another thing I often want to educate people on is that with my business that I have, I leveraged it to then allow me to start getting into real estate, like opening up Airbnbs, acquiring other properties. So I noticed my audience gets caught up wanting to start all these businesses at one time and then being very stressed because they can't. But what's very important for you all to know is just focus on starting one thing. Get one business bank account, register one business, and then from there, use that business, build your business credit. You can apply for a loan, you can apply for a line of credit, you can apply for funding. Now you're in a position to leverage that to help you get into another industry. So to put a down payment on an Airbnb, or to do a corporate lease on an Airbnb, or to get a commercial property. So don't try to do everything at once. Formulate one business, build that business credit, get funding for that one, make sales, work on that. And then as that one is starting to generate revenue, leverage it to help you get into another realm of business, such as real estate and et cetera. So it's very important for everyone to recognize that one business can really give birth to other businesses so long as you do it strategically.
So in terms of your business and your growth, which revenue lines would you say are the most profitable? So if people are thinking, okay, let's say I'm in a bind, you know, I lost my job during COVID-19. I'm trying to think of something that will bring in something quickly so that I can get off unemployment. I can leverage this lump sum, this small lump sum that I have, but I need something that, you know, is going to come in fairly soon and be fairly regular and stable. Like, what advice would you have? And what would you say is your most profitable income line?
My most profitable stream are my digital products, number one. Then secondly is my coaching, one-on-one coaching. Then thirdly might be my life insurance. And then fourth would be like my Airbnb, my rental property, things of that nature. But I would say for anyone who wants to get started with, you know, what they have, I recommend one of two things: start creating your digital product or start selling a physical product using Shopify. And so you can do a physical product by drop shipping it. Okay. So drop shipping is a method where you're essentially the middleman. So you go on Alibaba, research the products you want to sell, such as workout sets, hair, glasses, jewelry, whatever the case might be. And you advertise it in your store for a specific price. Now, Alibaba is probably going to sell it for, let's say, $3, but you can mark it up to $10 or $15. So when people buy it from your store, you're the middleman. So when they buy from you, Shopify has apps that connect your store with the actual merchant from Alibaba, which is in China. And then they ship the product to your customer. So you're not holding any inventory and you keep that profit difference. So you bought it from them for $3, you sold it for $15, that $12 is yours. So that's one way that you can get started with relatively no money. You're just not going to need to spend about $30 to $50 on your Shopify store and start creating content on Instagram immediately. That's one way. The other way would be through digital products. I teach people, and I have a course on this, you know, everyone has something that they're experienced in, something that they've overcome, a story that they have, and something that they can teach to someone else. A lot of the time, we just don't give ourselves enough credit. So if you've ever started at point A and gotten to point B in something, whether that's losing weight, overcoming depression, raising twins, potty training, whatever the case might be, that transition is something that you can teach someone else and people will pay for it. I think a lot of the time people don't think people will pay for things, but they will, especially when you position yourself as an authority or someone who can teach it in that space. Now, where the time comes in Because both of these things don't cost a lot of money to start. I did it and made $1 million. But where the time comes in is the consistency in creating content. And that's where people give up too soon. Because my first 4 months, I made $100 in this business. Maybe 500, like maybe. In digital products specifically. Let me be clear. Yes, in digital products. But the rest of the income came in the following 6 months. Then it really started to blow up. But a lot of the time, people don't want to put in that first 3 to 4 months of time. But you have to. You have to, because when you first post, you can't expect that people are just going to come buy from you. Like, oh, here's a new person. Let me just go buy their ebook. You got to put in some of that sweat equity. So that's really what costs in starting a business. Not necessarily the money, but with social media, you can now position yourself immediately, right? But you just have to put in that time of showing up, creating content, engaging with your audience, getting them to trust you. And once you successfully do that, well, then you're able to experience nearly pure profit because of the fact that you didn't spend a lot of money to start the business. You just put in the time.
Yeah, no, and that's so important, is building that trust and building the sweat equity that you spoke about, which is so important. And that's what I've been hearing from so many entrepreneurs on this show, is that, look, like I started out, you know, doing things for free, offering my services for free so that I could build that trust. And I had those testimonials and I could build out the case studies, as you mentioned. So yeah, and that's critical. But so many people give up too soon because they're looking at the 3 months or the 4 months or the 5 months. They're like, oh no, I could have had a job where I was earning this, or, you know, and then people run off and they get a survival job. They run into something, they're not happy with it, and they're still unhappy 10 years down the road. And so I so agree that, like, everyone, you need to put in the time and don't give up too soon. So, Elisa, something I want to ask, because I know lots of women listen to this show, lots of moms, and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I have 3 or 4 kids. How am I going to make this work? How do I make the time? And they're homeschooling like we are. What advice would you have for them? I mean, do you use tools? Do you have employees now? Do you get help with, for instance, some of the tasks that you do? I'm just wondering, you know, how you make that all work.
Yeah. So, you know, luckily when I moved back home, I had my mom to help, which is great. So, you know, she was very helpful with the kids when I had to be focused in some ways on the business. But I would definitely say for those listening, my mistake was not delegating sooner. I was carrying it all on me. And granted, with digital products, I didn't necessarily have to have a lot of extra help because I'm not shipping out anything. You know, you can automate a lot of the process. But what I neglected to get sooner was a virtual assistant or a customer service rep. So I was up midnight, 2 a.m., answering DMs, answering emails, fixing, you know, making corrections, you know, just oof. And it was like stopping me from being able to be in my zone of genius, which is creating more content, scaling the business. And while, you know, I managed it well because I did, you know, achieve a lot, sometimes I think if I had brought on a customer service person, maybe I could have hit 2 million in 10 months, you know, maybe I could have hit 1.5 in 10 months. And so now I have help. I just hired my assistant maybe 2 months ago. It's been 2 months, which has been very helpful. And so now I'm starting to think more of, okay, how can I remove myself from the operation so that it can exist even without me necessarily? And I think that's how all of us should think when we know we want to start a business. Sometimes it can feel so close to us, and it should, because it's your baby. You put in so much time, but ultimately you want it to be able to exist on its own. That's when you know you really have a profitable, thriving business, when you don't have to touch anything and it still runs.
Great advice. And so I know you took the personal financial identity quiz, and that's so critical for women now. And as we're getting back, you know, into normalcy or some form of it, so important for people to know what their financial identity is and how they can harness it. So I know you took the quiz and I'm eager to learn about yours and your thoughts on it and, you know, whether you see it like in your daily life and how you see it play out. So can you tell us what your results were and your thoughts?
Yeah, I think now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think my results were like moderate or safe or something like that. I'm not a very risky spender.
Was it the minimalist then, or?
Yes, it was the minimalist.
Okay, perfect. And so do you see that play out in like your daily life?
I definitely do. I was actually not surprised at all because, you know, I truly am not a big spender. And that's something I was telling my students the other day is even with the success I've had, I haven't drawn a large salary for myself. You know, the only thing I've done is I moved out, got myself an apartment for me and the kids. But I think my goals are so defined and clear that I'm willing to still, you know, wear the same stuff I had, you know, I mean, I always had nice things. I don't feel the need to go out and buy all these designer expensive things right now, because rather than me putting $5,000 on a bag, I'd rather put $5,000 as a down payment, you know, because you can buy a house with $5,000. And so my thought process is so focused on, as I mentioned earlier, taking one business and creating multiple businesses, that spending on me is really not a part of the equation right now. So I think that when I got the minimalist result, it was good. I was like, okay, that's me.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And we've had so many minimalists on the show who are so successful entrepreneurs, and the stories are so inspiring of what they've been able to accomplish. And so something I wanted to ask you, just because you said, you know, you don't draw that salary for you, you've taken the least that you can, basically. And so I'm wondering, because I know I can anticipate listeners saying, so I wonder how much, you know, I should be taking out for me.
That's like a good question.
How do I know?
So I think a lot of the time I did mine based on the market rate of what I would be making if I was someone's employee. So I looked up, okay, what would a CEO or a VP of a small consulting firm be making? And in LA, that's really anywhere from like $150,000 to maybe $250,000. So I kind of did mine on market rate. But honestly, I would say, and this is directly from my CPA, for anyone listening, you kind of want to look at being anywhere from 10 to 20% of your monthly business income can be what you start to pay yourself. That's the best way to kind of scale. And that's reasonable. It's modest. Now, of course, as your business starts to make more money, you know, some people pay themselves 30% of their business profit. I think it's all based on your goals, but I definitely wouldn't recommend going over that 30% number, because then at that point, it's becoming more about you than the business. But really, truly, 20%, 15% is like a sweet spot to where if your business is making $10,000 a month, maybe at that point, you're paying yourself $2,000. Now, of course, this is going to depend on what your monthly expenses are, but this is why I always teach my students, as you go into starting this business, go ahead and get in the habit of decreasing your lifestyle expenses. Because I think a lot of people think as soon as you become an entrepreneur, you just get rich, you live this flashy lifestyle. But to sustain as an entrepreneur, you have to be willing to be disciplined and live a little bit minimally. So go ahead and decrease your expenses right now. Start looking at what can you cut out of your budget, so that even when your business starts making 10, 20K a month, you're comfortable with only paying yourself 20%, because you've decreased your expenses to the point where you're not feeling like, I need more money, you know, because you can always give yourself a raise when it's your business. That's the freedom of it, but you want to do it at the right time.
And that's such good advice, because I think a lot of us get tempted to go back into the corporate world. Because they're like, well, look at the salary I had there. And I was able to maintain this kind of lifestyle. And this business isn't giving me that yet, you know, and they get very exactly yet. And so people get very, you know, unmotivated and think that the business isn't working or won't work because they're eager to get that kind of, but What I love about your advice a while ago is that you're decreasing your lifestyle so that you're not tempted to make wrong decisions, that you're not tempted to think short term, and you're not tempted to make rash decisions that are not going to benefit you in the long term. So Lisa, that's amazing. And of course, is there anything else that you would advise people before we go? Is there any last words of wisdom that you want to give people?
I guess I would just say, those of you who are listening who already have a business that you've started or you want to start a business, just stay consistent. You know, don't, I know everyone says this, but I truly mean it. Don't give up, because typically your hardest days are what are getting you closer to that breakthrough. And a lot of the time when it's very hard and we feel like nothing's working is when we want to stop. But that very next day is when it could just pour through. So stay consistent, don't give up, and then really set goals for yourself. So I would recommend anyone listening to create a vision board or write down a list of what your goals are in life, what you want to achieve, what you want this business to help you be able to do. And then look at that every single day, because that can really motivate you to stay focused. And then you'll know, okay, well, if I don't show up, I won't be able to get any of the things I put on this list. So I will show up so that I can get closer to being able to accomplish what I envision for my life.
And so can you tell us where to find you on social media and your website so the audience can, you know where to find you?
Yes, absolutely. So my handle is Ellie Talks Money on all platforms. And my website is also ellietalksmoney.com. So that's where you can find me. Definitely send me an email if you have any questions, if you'd like to work together one-on-one. And certainly do get my courses so that you can have everything you need for your business.
Thank you so much for joining us. It was amazing having you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. Make sure to visit our website, KeishaBlair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks. Free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning, best-selling Holistic Wealth 32 Life Lessons to help you find purpose, prosperity, and happiness.